Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are delighted to welcome in Stan Bowman. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Stan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Stan.
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing fantastic, and we're delighted to talk to you. And I know that you have been very transparent in what's going on now, and the letter to the fans talked rebuild. We hadn't heard that really before. Why the transparency? Is there anything that's shifted? Has anything changed? Why do you want to be transparent about this?
I don't know if there's a specific thing that caused it, but I think in reflections, you know, during the last several months here, our season was paused as the sports world was, dealing with the pandemic, and in trying to, I guess, be more progressive and look at ways we could be more open with our fans, we felt this was the best way to approach it.
Stan, the kind of rebuild you described in the letter to the fans sounds like a full commitment. So help me out here. Looking at your roster, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith, and Brent Seabrook, it makes me wonder, how is that possible to have a full rebuild with those guys on your roster? The only way I see you could pull it off if it, one of those guys that describe, they have no movement clauses. You know, if they waive it and you're able to move them, then that's a full rebuild. How realistic is that, and have you asked them about that possibility?
Well, I think the problem here is in the terminology, full rebuild. I think it appears to mean something different in your description there than what we're talking about. What we're committed to doing is trying to build back up more depth in our roster. It's not like it's one option or another where you have to remove every player from your team. Otherwise, it's not a rebuild. You can call it whatever term you want to call it. I think what we're trying to do is build up more depth, because right now we have a lot of good pieces in our team. It's not like we're starting from scratch to make our team back to being one of the top teams in the league. And we're headed in that direction, but we don't have enough. And we think the way forward is to incorporate more younger players, as well as give them the ability to develop. And we've committed to doing that. So that's what our focus is. And that's what we've been on this path for the last year or two. I think the biggest change is we're being more open with where we're headed.
And I find it fascinating because obviously when you talk about the break with COVID and all that, Stan, John McDonough was let go and Danny Wirtz took over. So it seems like, it seems like this is you know, you made a decision there with Corey Crawford where you were going to give him a contract and you couldn't come to a term with him and you let him go. And then you go ahead and trade a Sauter. So we now look at it differently in terms of what you're doing. Is that because did these moves come because it was time? Maybe it was time a couple years ago and John didn't want to do that and Danny was more open to it? Or is it more like you kind of made the decision when you decided to move on from Crawford and make the trade with Sod? I'm just trying to figure out the timing.
Well, I guess the timing, to be more transparent, it really came out of a series of conversations that I had with Danny over the summer when he came with us to the bubble in Edmonton for our playoff run. And up until that point, I hadn't spent as much time with Danny as I did there. Now, we were there for over 20 days, and we spent essentially every minute of every day together because there was really nothing else to do there besides watch hockey and then, you know, spend time with one another. So, you know, we had three meals a day together, and in those conversations, you know, he was trying to get up to speed and more about our hockey team. You know, when he first came on board, we were doing a lot of things on the business side. So while we were in Edmonton, we spent a lot of time together, and we would just, he would ask a lot of questions like, tell me about this, tell me about that, explain, you know, where we're headed with this. And I would explain it all to him. And he said, like, this is really helpful for me. Like, this is great information. We should talk about this. We should tell people more because it all lines up and it all makes a lot of sense what we're doing and the direction we're headed. So that was really where this idea came from. I don't know if it was anything other than that. It was a series, you know, for a couple of weeks we were there talking about our team, and it just seemed more natural for us to be more open with everyone else.
So I know you don't like hypotheticals, but let's say that Corey Crawford had accepted your one-year deal, or that you were successful in negotiating with goalie Matt Murray with the Penguins, and you had a veteran goaltender that you could count on next year. Would that have delayed this process a season, or when you were unsuccessful in getting Corey to get a new deal or with the Murray pursuit, did that kind of spur you to pivot and say, okay, let's do this now?
No, because like I said, David, we were doing this anyway. I think that the biggest change is being more open with what we were doing. Like last year, look at we were the youngest team last year in the playoffs. And we had a lot of opportunities for Kirby Dach and Adam Boqvist. And even the year before, Alex DeBrincat was 20 years old, led our team in goals. Like, so these things have been happening. We've been putting more and more emphasis on young players. This is not like a new shift. I think what the shift is, not only are we going to continue to do it, we're going to be more open about it, and we're going to continue to give more young players bigger opportunities, as opposed to going out and bringing in veteran players like this the last couple weeks and trying to rely just on guys that are, you know, close to the tail end of their careers. We're going a different route. So even if Corey had come back for 1 year, that wouldn't have changed the overall direction of where we're going.
How do you balance with what you're talking about, getting younger and bringing in more depth and younger players, with the idea of the Brandon Saad trade? You know, you basically acquired a veteran. I know Zadorov is 25, but he's been in the league. And I don't know if people thought that you should have gotten draft picks. I don't know if you believe that. How do you kind of balance those two factors?
Well, I think once again the challenge seems to be in more the perception, as opposed to it doesn't have to be one or the other, because there was nothing wrong with getting draft picks. Certainly there was discussions on that, but the value of Nikita Zadorov is, I guess I would disagree a little bit in saying that he's just entering the best years of his career. He's 25 years old. He's played a couple hundred games in the league. But for defensemen, your best years are between 25 and 30. And I think he's going to be a nice addition to our group, and he's going to help accelerate the development of Adam Boqvist. You know, if you look at his style of play, you know, he's a big, strong, intimidating left-handed defenseman. I think he would be a great partner for a couple of our young right-handed defensemen that have a different skill set. Ian Mitchell's a new player who the fans will get used to here coming up this season. So Ian Mitchell and Adam Boqvist are two skilled young defensemen that play on the right side. They really could use a partner like Zadorov. So when we were talking about that, it was a very appealing option for us. I don't look at Zadorov as a settling for anything. And certainly there's nothing wrong with getting draft choices. That's another route that we would likely pursue in future trades if it makes sense. And if there's not a better alternative, then that's a great way to go. But I don't think it has to be one way or the other. I think maybe that's where there's a difference of opinion. And I'm trying to explain that there's a couple different ways to go forward. You don't have to just go with a draft pick route. It can be a young player who we think has many years ahead of him.
When you seek feedback, Stan, I think that sometimes you get stuff that maybe you don't want to hear, or, you know, not everybody's going to agree with you 100% of the time. So while we love transparency, I think a lot of people wonder about accountability. And so how do you explain to the people who might be critical of this process or the move in this direction that, okay, you're the guy who is leading the Hawks out of this, you know, I guess, funk or this decline and into the next phase, and you were the same guy that kind of was the general manager while they kind of slipped in that direction. And now you've had a lot of success, but the last few years, obviously the playoff drought is something that was a problem. You guys got in this year, but it was because of the fluky format. How do you explain to those people where accountability lies within the organization?
Well, certainly, David, there's accountability. And yeah, you're right. My decisions are the ones that always have to be judged and evaluated. And I'm the first to admit that not every decision we've made has worked out. And it's certainly contributed to where we are now. I think looking back at it, you know, when we had the run when we were at the top, when we either were winning or we were one of the top teams in the league, you're doing your best to, you know, prolong that. And you do a lot of short-term moves in those moments to trading away draft choices, trading away young players to try to prolong your time at the top. And there's always a reckoning coming. And I think, you know, we've seen that the last couple of years, because when you're chasing the cup and you trade first round draft picks and young players, you don't feel the pain right away. Because those players don't help you for 2, 3, 4 years down the road. That's where we've been the last couple of years, where we don't have those guys in their, you know, early 23, 24, 25 year age bracket, because that was when, you know, we were dealing them away. So, and that was me that dealt them away. So that's fair to be critical of that. And I've not tried to run from that. That's a reality of our business. And when you're at the top and you're trying to extend it, that's a typical move that makes sense in the moment. And then some of them work, some of them don't, and you have to try to recover from it. So I think that's the steps that we're taking now, which is trying to build it back up. And, you know, you'd love to do it as quickly as possible. And I think we're headed back up where we want to get to. It's not like we're heading down, we're heading back up. We have some young players that are exciting to watch, and I think they will continue to play a larger role on the team going forward. And when we can do that and have more young players join the mix, I think it looks for optimism for everybody.
You know, Jonathan Toews came out and talked, and he's usually not the guy that's coming out and talking, but he was not happy about some stuff, and you said that you've talked to him since then. I heard you say also that you talked to the Core Four about what was happening to Toews and Kane and to Keith and Seabrook. You know, everybody's in a different situation, and these are players that know nothing but success in their careers, and now you're looking at moving into a different phase in their career. We know the no move trades. I'm just curious, what was their reaction when you were transparent with them about what's going on?
Well, I think I will give you a brief summary. I think it's better to always hear it from them. I don't want to put words into their mouth, but the way I would explain it is, it's pretty simple. The players play because they want to win. So that's all they're saying is, look, we want to win, and that's our focus. And, you know, we want to win as well. And I think the moves that we're doing by trying to give larger roles to young players, it's so that we can surround those players with better players and give us a deeper team to have a chance. I think looking back to where we were this summer, you know, we won one round of the playoffs against Edmonton, and then we weren't good enough to beat Vegas. And Vegas is a very strong team. They're probably one of the top two or three in the league right now. They're deep from top to bottom. And that's what we're trying to build. We're trying to get more depth. So because we were competitive with Vegas, it was a 4-1 series defeat. But, you know, if you watch that series closely, every game was very competitive. It was close. There was just a couple stretches in each game when they would be better than us, and that would be the difference. And so my answer to them was, I get that. I understand that, you know, you're used to winning and you want to get back to the top, and we do as well. And the reason that we're relying on young players is because we need to find more players to give you guys a hand with this. And when you explain it that way, that we're not doing this for any other reason than trying to build it back up so that we can experience winning again, then they understood it. And you know, it's certainly always challenging when the player you've played with for 10 or 12 years is no longer here. And I understand that there's, you know, your friend is going to another organization. So I think there's emotions involved with that, which is understandable as well. But when we explain why we're doing this and trying to surround them with better players, you know, it seemed like they understood that.
Stan, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it, and best of luck.
Thank you, Stan.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.